start.
What's up, everyone? What's up? Welcome back to the Safe House Podcast. We are your hosts, Vid and Jazz. Welcome to episode 3. Episode 3, Yeah, so we're back. We're excited to be here, despite my monotone voice. And hope you enjoyed the last couple episodes. We should be live on Spotify by now, which is exciting. We're recording this just at the end of August. It's a Saturday. Jazz, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? How's life?
I'm amazing. I feel
great. We
haven't
spoken for all of 2 days, I think.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's actually quite ridiculous that we've managed. This is going to be the third recording within the space of a week, I believe.
I think we needed a break from each other, right?
I kind of got sick of this guy.
Yeah, I think you were speaking to me more than you were speaking to your girlfriend, I think.
Ah, don't tell me about that, man. Like, I've been hearing it for the last week or so. Nah, I don't mean to put on blast. She's actually been very supportive of this whole thing. And yes, our nightly phone calls have halted a bit, but it's all for a good cause. And yes, it's been
how long did we spend on the phone the other day, Jazz?
Bro, wasn't it like 3 hours? And it started at midnight for me. So it's all right for you, but it was what day was it? Was it a Friday?
I have no idea.
Thursday?
But it was definitely over 3 hours.
It was over a 3 hour phone call.
Do you talk
but
to
that
your
is
girlfriend
dope.
For that long?
Huh?
Do you talk to your girlfriend for that long on the phone?
Ooh, no comment. No. Our phone calls are long, but this was probably the longest phone call I've ever had.
Okay, well, you know, I don't want to come in between you guys. That's what I don't want to, you know, step on any toes. So,
too late, bro.
If I need to step back.
She's about to chop your head off next time she sees you. She has warned her, the staff at, what's it called? At Heathrow.
Oh, yeah.
At Customs. Yeah, man.
Okay.
I'll
just fly to Stansted then, I guess. Stansted or Luton. Or Gatwick.
You got this all figured out.
Yeah. Luckily, but thanks to COVID, I won't be returning to the UK anytime soon. So next time she sees me, who knows when that's going to be. So I'm good. I'm safe.
You're safe for now. Yeah. I'll protect you. I'm still trying to put in a good word, but yeah.
Just like,
she's never been totally convinced by you, to be fair, but...
Fair.
I'm really kidding, man. I'm really kidding. She does love you, man. She does love you. No, she's excited. Thing is, I haven't let her listen to any of the reruns we've done or anything so far. So
really?
I've said you, yeah, man. I've said you listen because I. Do you know what? I think you only get to form a first opinion once, which is quite an obvious thing to say. So I really want her to like see how it sounds when it releases on Spotify.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for this to drop on Spotify. I haven't showed anyone either. I haven't showed anyone the episodes we've done so far. So,
But this is such a weird thing to release, isn't it? When you think about it, it's a conversation we think it's just coming out. It's not like a piece of music or it's nothing, but this is so different and so unique to what is usually distributed as a form of media, as a form of entertainment. Don't you think?
Yeah, obviously it's different to music, but yeah, I quite like it. Like, we have complete creative freedom. I love it. There's no one guiding us creatively. It's hard for people to give us feedback too because we're just doing our own thing. And I don't really want feedback from anyone. I don't really want anyone telling me or us how we should be doing this differently. It's our creation and we can do what we want. So
exactly. Vid, do you just want to tell everyone where they can send their complaints to?
So guys, any people who are offended or any feedback, we'll take that on shahipaneer@gmail.com. Looking forward to reading and receiving your comments.
The inbox is growing, man.
Yeah. I've got so many email accounts now. I'm just losing track of how many we have. True story, guys. Okay, so this is actually legit. My first ever email address that I created when I was 14, at my cousin's house. I literally remember this moment so well. Let me just tell the story real quick. I was sitting in my cousin's living room. Is my cousin Richard, some of you guys know her. And I didn't have an email address, I don't think. And she was like, why don't you have an email address? What's wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know. I just don't ever email anyone. And she was like, okay, well, we're going to create one for you right now. I was like, okay, cool. She's like, what do you want it to be? I was like, I don't know. I don't know. What should it be? She's like, I don't know. It's your email address. You tell me what it should be. I was like, I don't know. That went back and forth for like a few minutes. Then she was like, well, what do you like? I was like, alu pronte. What else do I like? Alu pronte. And that was my email address. My email address to this day is alu_pronta@hotmail.co.uk. I'm actually still on that. Now I just get like automated emails to send. You know when a website asks you to sign up and you put in an email that you don't want them to email you on? That's what I
That's the
in.
Third party one now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't check
I legit
it.
Thought you were taking the piss when you told me that for the first time. You know when I was going, when I wanted to add you on MSN Messenger back when that was an actual thing, I thought you were taking the piss. I didn't even add it for the first time because I'm just like, give me your fucking email address.
Give me your fucking email, you fucking bastard guy. What is your fucking email?
That's how we're not going to get bleeped out. So that's a good one. I saved
us
there.
Is that what you were thinking?
I tried. But yeah, I legit thought you were taking the piss when you first gave it to us, when you first gave it to me. So, but it's actually legit.
No, I wouldn't do that, bro. I wouldn't take the piss like that. You know me better than that. There's something else I wanted to say on a separate note completely from email addresses, which is... I've already expressed how excited we are for this show, but one of the reasons I'm so excited, and Jazz is too, is that if we can actually grow this, and you know, however long it may take us, you know, one day, 1 hour, 3 years, who cares? If we can actually grow this and, you know, develop some good listeners and good numbers, then Jazz and I could be in a position, either of us would be in a position where we could give more back to people. And that genuinely excites me. Just the fact that, you know, if we could one day make some revenue off this and donate to a charity or, you know, build a well in a less fortunate country than the ones that we live in, that is something that I'm genuinely excited for. So, just want you guys to know where our aims lie. You know, we're not just trying to, you know, make this and just flex. That's not the goal here. We actually do have some, you know, goals that hopefully will impact the world in a better way and hopefully change some lives. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
No, man, I completely agree with you there. I mean, like, what's the one thing people always say when they say, what would you do if you won the lottery? The typical answer is, I'd love to be able to go and do some charity work. Yeah, you go and buy your Lambos and all that. But essentially, I think everyone who is in a position or who works their way to a position would love to be able to go and contribute back and give back to what the world has essentially given them. So, yeah, mate, if this became something far beyond what either of us are expecting or like spiral out of our wildest imaginations, then it would be amazing if we could contribute or even manage to build an audience where everyone would be able to contribute and we'd be able to like document all these things going forward. Like, it'd be so cool to be able to take a hands-on approach about this. Do you know what I mean?
We could even get our listeners involved and, you know, entice them to also contribute or, you know, just start considering some causes we think are worthy. So yeah, there's a lot of positives coming down the road is what I wanted to say, what Jazz wanted to say. But yeah, anyway, now all that housekeeping is out the way, how have you been? How's your week? What have you been up to?
This week, man, what's it? It's just this week has just gone so fast.
This week has flown by, yeah.
This week has flown by. I
This whole
definitely think
year,
the pod.
bro.
So I've been seeing on Twitter a lot, people putting like a loading bar of 66% of this year has been done already. How fucking scary is that? That is so crazy. Like I could almost remember my birthday this year, even though I didn't even do anything. But I can remember when I turned 29, and summer's over. It's pissing down cats and dogs here in the UK. Like summer's over now officially. Like it's gone so fast, man. It's gone ridiculously fast. Have you felt like that this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been 9 months since I moved to Canada, which is crazy to say that. It's such a wild statement. I remember literally arriving here the first day. It's moving into this apartment. So yeah, this year has absolutely flown by. Speaking of summer, did you have a good summer? Did you get out and about? Did you catch some vitamin D on your beautiful golden brown skin?
You're too kind. This summer was a weird one, man, because as everyone knows, COVID has taken the piss. COVID has actually taken the piss, but I did fuck all.
Taking the fucking piss, COVID.
Taking the fucking piss, Matt. Like, what are you doing to me? Nah, I took on more passion projects, personal projects, which are like I was able to recreate within my own home. It was hard not being able to see the missus for a long time because of everything that happened with COVID.
Yeah.
It was a bit mad because we usually see each other what once, well, at least twice a week. So to go 3 4 months without being able to see each other and stuff and maintaining a digital relationship. I mean, yeah, it was we were able to do it, but it's not ideal. And
Yeah.
we had so many plans over the summer because we were supposed to go to weddings. There were
Wedding.
about two weddings. Wedding.
Wedding
We were
season.
supposed to that fucked up
Yeah,
royally.
few people I know had to cancel their tings. A cousin of mine too, unfortunately, had to
Oh, really?
cancel her ting. Yeah.
Was that here or
Hanji,
abroad?
Hanji, back in back on
Back in the UK.
back on home territory. Yeah, UK. Well, in it was gonna be in Europe somewhere, but
Yeah, man. So yeah, we were supposed to go to a few there were a few weddings we were supposed to attend. We had a few things that we even wanted to go do and just be able to like go visit and see, but that just went out the shit show. That was just just completely went out the window and just stuck at home really. I mean, how has everything been in Canada, if I may ask?
Oh, you may,
Like the
sir.
whole COVID's
You may ask such a fine question. You may.
Is that okay to ask? That's not offensive, is it?
Well, I am quite offended, but I will.
You're quite a sensitive
I'm
person.
extremely sensitive, but I will let the question remain. It's compared to London, it's obviously been amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, compared to what I hear about London,
Whoa.
it's been good here, man. The only thing that happened was the gym closed on March the 19th, and it reopened on June the 1st. Apart from that, not much else changed. The restaurants closed and coffee shops closed, but then they opened for like takeout and stuff, and public transport is like masks are mandatory. But like apart from that, my life was pretty much unaffected. A couple hikes are closed, but what I'm saying is I'm very blessed to be here. I'm very grateful to be here. I'm very lucky to be here. I honestly, I'm not sure how I would have held up in London. And I know it's been tough in New York as well. So, I'm just sending strength really to people in London and New York. You guys are heroes, and I hope everyone's doing okay.
So no one was like running out for toilet paper and like kicking the shit out of each other for toilet paper and pasta and sauce and shit. No, I say this seriously because that's what people were doing here. There were legit people in Asda and Tesco's fighting over toilet paper.
Yeah,
I want
no.
to know what people have done with that toilet paper. They
I heard
picked up probably
about
like 200 pieces of toilet paper. I want to know what they're fucking done. Are they still wiping their ass today? It's fucking stupid. I'm not even lying, man. Like, is
No,
it? And
yeah.
some
I heard
do you know
about
what the
that.
worst? Where the Indian stores are I'll fucking call them out. The Indian stores that were charging £10 per toilet paper.
Damn.
Per loo roll, sorry.
Yeah. Gotta watch.
Assholes.
Gotta watch out for those Indians, you know. You gotta watch out for them. They can't resist a good deal. It's like that Russell Peters. Do you remember that Russell Peters sketch? And
yeah.
The Chinese, you know, between the Indian man and the Chinese man trying to buy a bag, and it goes from $35 to $34.50. That one.
$34.50.
Yeah, that was amazing. But
I think that's probably the best comedic sketch I've ever seen.
Dude. Again with the
Don't diss me.
The sweeping statements. Jazz, king of sweeping statements. Best restaurant you've ever been to. Best comedic sketch you've ever seen. What's next, bro?
The best shit I've ever had. With all the loo roll I stole from Asda.
Best I ever had. Is he on the toilet like, best I ever had?
No, but I'm serious though. Like, when you think about it, that was probably the one comedic sketch I've looked at for over an hour. Or, like, I stayed and watched for an hour. And was laughing end to end.
Yeah.
I don't think there hasn't been another show. So one person who I love watching right now is Mo Gilligan.
He's brilliant, yeah.
His Instagram videos are, oh my God.
Did you see the retail? Please tell me you saw the video I sent you of him doing, you know, the sketch of like what it's like to work in retail. Trying to do a shift swap.
Oh my God.
The little
just the ad libs that he has there, the annotations, as well. The voices.
The annotations were amazing. Like, I don't care, this guy's a prick, suck your mom. Those were the best. It's so true though. No one gives a fuck. It's so true. It's literally so true. People say something and they literally think the complete opposite thing. They're like, oh, Tuesday. But really what they're thinking is, I don't give a shit about this guy at all. He's
just being difficult for the sake of being difficult.
He really succinctly, you know, captured like true British, just like
culture.
The way people
I think
interact.
It's just so mannerisms.
Yeah,
I
mannerisms,
completely agree.
Exactly. It's yeah.
You know what? When I watch his retail stores, retail sketches, it really reminds me of back in the day when I did retail.
Did you work in retail? Where did you work?
I worked at Dwell.
Oh,
so
bro, I love Dwell. That's a dope store.
Really?
Yeah, I got my dining table from
you
there.
You got a few... Oh,
and my
shit.
Chairs.
So it was... It's retail, but it's not like, mate, I couldn't fucking do clothes. I don't know how. I think I'd lose... I don't have the patience. And I think... You know when you fold up like 20 pieces of clothes?
Yeah.
And then some dickhead comes in and just starts like
unfolding.
Throwing it all about.
Yeah. I genuinely feel guilty when I go into a store and I want to look at some clothes. I actually refold. If I take something out and I like, you know, look at it, I'll put it against my body or whatever. I'll try my best to refold it. And then I can always, when I put it back on the pile, it never looks as good as the other ones that were folded previously. So then I'm pretty OCD. So I'm just like, damn, I fucked this whole store up, and now this person hates me. That's kind of why I don't go retail, you know, shopping in person that often. I usually shop more online for a lot of reasons. But
did you ever work retail yourself?
Not in a clothing store. Did I? I used to work in an optician's in Edgware when I was really young. I was 16, so not many fucks were given. Let's just say that.
How were you trusted with other people's eyes?
I have no idea. Can I tell you how I got that job? Literally, can I tell you the story? One day, I went there for an eye test with my parents, right? We were just in Edgware, and I think we just walked past the optician, and... We were just like, oh, cool, let's get our eyes checked or let's look at some glasses, right? I was 16. I think it was the summer after school, so I wasn't doing anything. I was just, you know, lounging around the house, being a complete waste man. And my parents were probably sick of me. I was probably being a brat, or just some obnoxious kid, so they probably were fully within their rights to be sick of me. So we're in Specsavers, and I'm sitting down, obviously, because I don't want to be there. And you know when you're in the store with like your mom or dad, and the first thing you do is look for a chair, right?
100%.
First thing you do is like, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I'm going to sit down, text someone, pretend I'm not here, right? Next thing I know, my mom has come over to me, and she's like, "Okay, you work here now. You're starting on Monday." That's literally
What?
what happened. My mom had like spoken to the manager apparently, and just said, "Look at my son. This is him. He's
He's
very
very handsome.
brown, very competent. Give him job." Obviously, in that accent. No, she doesn't sound like that at all. She speaks in such a British accent. But yeah, next thing I knew, I was employed.
The black
My
shirt.
mom had like given my CV and done the whole interview process. I didn't even have a CV, but she had sold me to this company. So I got mad respect for her for that, you know. I didn't even know I needed a job, but next thing you know, I'm employed, and now I'm making that sweet paper, you know. I'm making like £7 an hour. So
At 16, that is, I think, even that's amazing.
bruv, Nando's left, right, and center, you know. It was a good time. I think I only did Saturdays though. But what I did do at the optician, I used to cut the lenses. So when you know, like, for anyone who wears glasses knows that, or you know, generally glasses have lenses, obviously, but have you ever wondered how the lens fits in the frame of your specific frame? The lens, you know, how does it match? Anyway, so there's this machine called a glazing machine, and what you do is you know those weird numbers along the side of your frame? Jazz, do you wear glasses?
Unfortunately not. Well, no, not unfortunately. I don't wear glasses, the simple
But
answer.
yeah, every pair of glasses has a weird number on the side, and what you do is you punch those numbers into this machine, right? And then you like put the lens in, like it's like a CD disc tray. You put the lens comes in a big circle. It looks like a CD, and you put it in, and you punch in these numbers, and then it cuts the shape. So this machine cuts the lenses, and then I would like do all that, and then pop them into the frames, and bada bing, bada boom, your glasses are ready to go. So that was me. That's what I would do at 16.
You basically gave people eyesight.
I provided vision to the masses, Chaz.
You prov Fuck
You
me,
know,
that is. How were you even trusted with such a high
that's what I'm saying.
responsibility?
Who gave me this authority to do this? I have no idea. It's because
I wouldn't trust you to pet my
I'm
dog.
brown. People just think brown people can do anything. You know what I mean? Just delegate. He's brown. He'll get it done. I don't know. I must have looked trustworthy somehow. I didn't have a beard then, so that's why.
Oh yeah, you still look like a butcher back
Yeah,
then.
full butter.
Well, I think your
Yeah.
mum's reputation had preceded itself, so that they you basically got favors.
Exactly. She called in favors. I don't know whether she threatened them to get me this job, or whether she gave them like some pronte or whatever happened. She hooked up the deal, so respect to her. But what about you? Did you say you worked in retail?
Yeah,
Yeah,
Well,
dwell.
so I so my first retail job, well, I wouldn't even say it was retail, but I actually my first ever job was at Virgin Atlantic. So I used to work at
What
check-in.
kind of retail is that?
That's not re that's super retail. That is high-end retail. I sell planes.
Wait, how old were
I sold
you?
the
Don't
plane.
tell me you were 16.
No. I got this job first summer of
69.
when I
Oh,
was in uni.
okay.
Nah, so I was 18 when I got the job.
Oh, nice.
That was my first ever job that I had. So before that, I mean, I used to go to Kenya quite often, and I'd work at my, well, I say work, I just chill with my grandfather in his factory.
Oh, nice.
And I'd put that, and I used to put that down as work experience, just to start blagging. And I'll still never get jobs. I used to never get jobs. You know how you said your mum got you the job at Specsavers?
Yes.
My mum and me walked in to get some milkshake. She tried to get me a job at a milkshake bar, and I still couldn't get it.
Damn. You should have got...
That is so peak. No one trusted me to fucking blend a few pieces together.
My mum would have hooked it up if my mum was there.
I wish she was.
She's very.
I wanted to make milkshakes.
I actually... which milkshake bar was that?
Oh, it's finished now. Because they didn't hire me.
Finished.
They closed off.
Finished.
Basically, super... I think they didn't hire me because they thought I would have finished everything.
That's super fresh. What happened to that milkshake bar? Oh, it's finished. Finished. Katam. It's not a movie, bruv. It's not a TV show. It's closed. Jesus Christ.
It's finished.
Finished. You literally sound like we're in a Bollywood movie. Hey, whatever happened to that restaurant? Finished. So wait, where was it? In End? Was it in NL?
This was in Hendon. Oh, nice. Yeah, this is down the road from me. I had literally everything going for me to get this
job. How can you not get a job at a milkshake bar?
It had no customers. Okay. And I still couldn't get the job. How fucked up must I have looked? I probably had like a third eye or like a fifth leg or something.
Wouldn't you... Fifth leg? What? Okay. Not even a third leg.
I don't know where the third and fourth one came from.
Wouldn't you love to go back to some of your first ever job interviews and like be a fly on the wall and just look at how... Just observe yourself and, you know, like how ridiculous you looked or like what you were wearing or, you know, I'd love to see some of those experiences.
Oh, I've always dressed fly.
Oh, yeah?
I've never had a problem. I'd happily go back. I'd look back and smile.
You're always talking about waistcoats. You probably wore a waistcoat to your job interview.
I did not. I wore a proper suit. I wore a full-on suit. Thing is, my mum worked at Virgin Atlantic, right? Yeah. So she helped me with the interview. Okay.
Great.
And yeah, so I actually gave a very good interview for that one. They were really impressed. But considering my mum's a manager there, it was like, she kind of told me the best ways to approach
it. She prepped you.
She prepped me big time. But no.
Wait, side question.
That was still today my best job I've ever had. Working at the airport, I've always loved traveling anyway. So just being in an airport constantly for like 10 hours a day, I loved it. Plus, like, it'd give you an excuse to talk to girls. So any fit girl that wanted to check in, I would obviously approach no problems at all. And,
interesting.
Yeah.
Question, did you wear grey contact lenses at this job?
Oh, bitch. You are never going to let that go.
Why would I ever let?
You are never going to let that go. No, it's not part of uniform standards.
Really?
They would have told me to... So working in an airline, there's always the stigma that if you work in an airline, you have to be looking sharp at all points. Like, the managers are so strict about it. So your shirt can't be untucked. Your hair has to be, like, styled well. Your tie can't be loose. You can't...
Proper style.
but you have to be on point. There is no exceptions to like, you can't, no, it was just not allowed. And if you ever were, mate, your managers were pulling you to the side and being like, fix yourself up.
On point.
On point. But no, best job I've ever
honestly,
had.
Honestly, gotta tell you, it sounds pretty bad. Just from my personal opinion, you have to dress super fresh every day. Gotta make sure.
So what's wrong with that?
That's a lot. First off,
that's a uniform. So you had a uniform. Yeah. You had a uniform
so that,
to wear.
That doesn't sound appealing. First off, second off, it's at the airport. For me, I've spent so much time in airports, even though I've never worked in one. I really don't like airports. Because I'm always like, whenever I'm in an airport, the entire time that I'm in an airport, I'm thinking, every few seconds, I'm like, have I lost my passport? Have I lost my wallet? Have I lost my phone? It's literally just a whole, you know,
mind
it's
fuck.
A whole like 1 hour of anxiety every time I'm in an airport. The same thing happens. I'm like, oh crap, I left, you know, something at home.
Have you ever lost any of those items?
Yeah, actually, I did lose my passport once.
What?
Wait, let me tell that story in 1 second. I actually just wanted to tell a different story about how I used to also remind me if I forget about that. Remind me about losing my passport.
Of course.
I used to work in a milkshake place too. Well, no, sorry, not too, because you didn't get the job. But I just got all these jobs you didn't get.
You hit me where it hurt. Going. You fucking hit me where it's it hurt.
Low blow. Beneath the belt. yeah, I don't think you knew me then. Some of my friends might remember. I used to work at a milkshake and crepe place. For anyone who doesn't know, for any reason, a crepe is a pancake. Yeah, I used to work at a pancake place in Edgware called Crepes and Shakes. And unfortunately, it closed down, finished. But I worked there for about a year. It was cool. I used to make the pancakes. I'd pour on the batter. Twist up, use the little like wooden thingamajig to, you know, make a perfect circle on the, you know what I'm talking about, on that like circular. Yeah,
the tava.
Tava, whatever it is. And then I would heat up, and then, you know, like pick it up, throw it on the plate, turn it upside down, put some strawberries in there, put some chocolate in there, put some whipped cream, banana, anything that someone wanted.
Are you slapping your ass?
Yes,
there?
Yeah, I am. That's exactly what I'm doing.
With the strawberries.
Talking about crepes and slapping my ass. That's what gets me going. yeah, so I would hook that up and then, you know, like sling it on a plate. And that was me, bro. I was slinging crepes at the tender age of 17. After I got fired from Specsavers. That's a different story for another day. Too many stories. That's why we started this podcast. There's just so much to share. Anyway, working at the milkshake place, I wish you did have that experience because it was actually a lot of fun. Because every milkshake, I really hope the owners of that place aren't listening. But they're definitely not.
What have you done?
No. It's just like, you know when you make it, I don't know if you guys have made an Oreo milkshake before, but it's hard to, it's a lot that you've got to get the right amount of ice cream, the right amount of Oreos, and then whatever else you're throwing in there, some dod, that means milk. So you blend all that up together, and sometimes there's like a surplus. There's, you know, you've created more than will fit. Sometimes accidentally, quote marks, you've accidentally created more than your customer requires. Oh no, what a nightmare. Now I have to drink it myself. So yeah, it was a good time. That's what I'm saying. You know, you just.
Did you get sacked for that?
No. I didn't get sacked from the milkshake place. They closed down, unfortunately. I did get...
Probably because you ran them out of business with all your surplus.
That's one theory. That's a working theory. It's still under investigation. But it's been about 12 years. So yeah, I had to move country. People asked why I moved country. There's a lot of reasons involved. But I'm actually on the run.
The milkshake man ran you out.
I'm actually on the run from small business owners in North London. That's what it is. yeah. Losing my passport. So... If Bishan is listening, which I hope he is, or any of the boys, we went to Amsterdam when we were very young, just young chaps, you know, very young, innocent chaps. I honestly think we were 17. I think we were 17 or 18. Went to Amsterdam, I think we flew by Wizz Air, right?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the right reaction.
I have a story about one Wizz Air and a rant.
One of those airlines where I don't even think they have allocated seating. You just, they're like, you know, they open the plane door and you just run on like sheep, find a seat, and you just hold on for 30 or 40 minutes or an hour, hope, praying that you know, the plane makes it across the water, and then you touch down in Amsterdam and you thank God you're alive. One of those experiences, probably paid like £4. No, probably like £12 for that flight. Anyway.
You paid £12 for the flight?
Something like that. It must have been ridiculously cheap. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. Anyway, let me cut through all this cheese. So, this is a real true story, okay? We're staying in what I can only describe as like, it's like an apartment room, but it had about 6 bunk beds, okay? And there was probably 8 of us, right? So there's a few beds spare. Anyway, we're all chilling. We've had a great time. We've gone out. We've been drinking. Everyone is pretty festive, let's say. Everyone's merry, right? Everyone's merry. They've been indulging in various substances, and everyone's safe. We're back in the hotel, or the apartment, or whatever. And Bishan, at the time, he had one of those bags. You know those like strap bags that you put over one shoulder? It's like a leather pouch, right?
Yes.
For some reason, okay, we were all dumb, young, all those things, young, wild, and free, etc. He was like, I think it was him or someone was like, I don't want to point any fingers or point any blame on anyone, but for some reason, collectively, we decided the clever thing to do would be to put all of our passports in this leather pouch bag that Bishan was keeping, like, strapped to his body, right? That was our decision. We were like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, guys. Yeah, okay. Anyway, luckily I kept my, like, phone, wallet, and keys on me. Anyway, that same night, one of us left the front door open. I remember it being open, right? But the thing is, it wasn't the front door. It wasn't like to the street. It was like you on the street. This is how you would enter. You from the street, you go into a door. You go up 12 or 13 stairs. At the top of the stairs, there are 3 doors. Okay, one of the doors is into our apartment. Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So we were thinking the door to the street downstairs is locked, so we weren't too bothered about our door being closed. And I remember thinking as I went to sleep, someone's going to close it. There's like 6 or 7 of us or 8 of us in this room. Someone will close this door. I was on the top bunk, so I was like, I'm not getting down. Someone's going to close it. Anyway, we wake up in the morning and Bishan's pouch is gone. It's missing and it's just nowhere to be found. And all of our passports were gone. And to this day, we don't have an explanation. We knocked on the other 2 doors, but I was like 17. I don't even remember that conversation. The guy, there was like an older guy who just denied it. But to this day, I'm still completely confused as to what happened in that moment with our passports. I don't know where they went. And luckily, we just had to go to the embassy and pay €133 for a temporary passport to get us back home.
Ouch.
It was a minor, really. But yeah, that was it. Have you ever lost yours?
Never. That is a ball ache.
Yeah, it took up a couple hours.
Someone in the hotel definitely stole
it's
your
crazy
shit.
Though. Who would creep in the room of like where 7 or 8 guys are sleeping and find a pouch and steal it? That's a lot of balls to do that, right? I don't know.
I want to know what made you lot sleep through all of that.
Yeah, well, you can probably guess. you can hazard an educated guess. We had a good time. That's what I'm saying.
Amsterdam's always a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amsterdam's always a good time. I've been there like, what, 2-3 times now?
Yeah.
I would still say, you're going to take the piss out of me for saying another sweeping statement, but I would say it's my favourite place to party. There's one club I always go back to whenever I've been, and I'd say it's one of my favourite. It's my favourite.
Jazz, I can't handle any more of these statements. I'm going to have to put a limit on how many of these sweeping statements you make per show. You're only allowed to make one. It's my favorite ever per show, okay? From now on, because I literally don't have the energy to fight you on.
Are you planning on headbutting me?
You can't tell me it's your favorite place to pop Amsterdam over Vegas, Miami,
Amsterdam.
New York.
I've been Vegas. I've been to the better than all of that. I promise
Atlanta.
You. I've been to Atlanta, Miami, Vegas. I've been to everywhere you could have partied in this world that was worth partying, and I'd still say my favorite
have you
club
in Fiji. Okay, well, how do you know it's not lit out there?
From my current experiences, you bunda, but but no, from where I have partied at the moment, I would say Amsterdam was like I love
over
going there
even
party.
Really,
yeah, man.
I mean, yeah, no, it's a good vibe.
Their hip hop club there, their hip hop culture is amazing out there.
Yeah, it is.
So like their DJ is it's incredible.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure but, that's what you liked about Amsterdam Jazz. I'm sure that's what it is.
Yes, I did.
The hip hop is that
their hip hop culture?
Hip hop culture, right? That's a new way of describing it. Nice.
Oh yeah, so God.
Back to Russell Peters. The reason I think that he was so good, he was. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he was like the first brown man comedian to come along, right? There wasn't really anyone before him. Am I wrong?
Paul Chowdhury?
He's definitely after Russell Peters. I'm saying before. Also, Paul Chowdhury is from Edgware, and I see him all the time. Well, I used to see him all the time in Edgware.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of you in you posted in the group chat.
Yeah, we hung
once.
Out in Starbucks once and had a coffee.
Did you tell him to do any of his?
No.
Acts?
I just told him I'm a big fan. he's really good. But yeah, I'm happy to see him killing it and Russell Peters. And there's another comedian who's really good. Oh, there's so many. I have so many. I'm really into comedy. From like Bill Burr to Ronnie Chung. Even Joe Rogan stuff is good. There's so many. Jack D used to be one of my favorites. I'm blanking.
I like getting comedy clubs. I've found a new appreciation for comedy clubs. I think they're amazing.
Louis C.K., Kevin Hart, have to drop those. Dave Chappelle, obviously. Eddie Murphy, obviously. I could go on. The list is so long. Comedy clubs, yeah, I go to those a lot.
You've got one down the road from you, but you haven't been to that one yet,
yeah,
have you?
Yeah, so it's called Yuck Yucks, and that's where Seth Rogen was performing when he was coming up, which is pretty cool. But it hasn't opened yet.
Really? Maybe you should give it a go.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I moved here was subconsciously to run into Seth Rogen in the street, but he's since moved to West Hollywood, California, so I that's a shame. But yeah, I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Also, I was going to say, there was another sad passing today. The Black Panther actor.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace.
Chadwick Boseman, I don't know how I forgot that. But yeah, man, that's... What the fuck is happening in 2020, man? Like, this is like another prominent, like, with what? We've lost Kobe. We've lost George Floyd. We've lost, like, Chadwick Boseman. There's been... Hey, it's crazy what's happened.
Yeah, it's been an insane year, man. RIP Kobe. RIP George Floyd. It's been a crazy, crazy year. And,
But do you know how ridiculous this is, man? Like, the guy has been shooting like incredible action movies for the last 5-6 years, and he's been suffering with colon cancer for the last during the entire time. How incredibly strong have you got to be able to manage that at the same time? Like the stress, the physical and emotional stress to go through making a movie and then having it critiqued. And then I just think like it's incredible what he's managed to achieve with his whole acting career and like the kind of the path he played, and especially what like the Black Panther role did from just a humanitarian point of view, like the kind of role it's played and like the kind of figurehead it's maintained. I think it's such a sad story. I think it's definitely shocked a lot of people across the world, man.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's going to make me emotional. So but yeah, it's nice to see so many people acknowledging how important he was, and you know how important he is, and how talented and how giving he was. People like Samuel L. Jackson, Jordan Peele, Kamala Harris, everyone really, so many more people. But yeah, it's a huge blow. It's devastating, really, and
It's interesting you say that, man, because the one thing that I love about social media is, like, because following his passing, how everyone's message is towards him and like how everyone's been sharing their stories of him and like just how cool of a character he was. It's so nice to like just see, and refreshing to see that like just people reminiscing and sharing their own stories of him. That's the one shining light of social media, I'd say.
Yeah, that is a plus. It is nice. Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's been good, man. It's been good, but no, unfortunately, man, it's a sad thing.
It was a great movie too. I'm not actually the hugest fan of Marvel movies, but that I did love Black Panther. I loved that movie. So it's really sad, man.
The soundtrack was amazing though as well. The Weeknd, Abel, doing his bit, killing it,
and
as
Kendrick.
Usual.
The soundtrack was incredible. That was, Kendrick was on there, J-Rock. They had a whole album. I still listen to that album every day.
Really?
Got that song, Paramedic. That song's crazy.
Because I remember seeing it in cinema. I saw it in the Waterloo one. Incredible. Like, just the sound. Yeah. Have you ever been to that 3D cinema? The one in Waterloo?
That's The Weeknd on that song, right? That's him. Is it called Pray For Me? Who gonna pray for me?
Pray for me.
La, 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 la. I can't even do it.
You sound like one of the Maasai.
I love The Weeknd. No, I don't know where I saw it. I can't remember. Somewhere, some cinema in London.
I love The Weeknd too, man. I'm actually still pissed that I'm not going this October to see him.
Where? Oh, you're supposed to see him.
Yeah, man. I had tickets as soon as he did My Dear Melancholy as a small project. So it's a six song mixtape. And then he released the last album, and that's the one he was touring with, and unfortunately that's been cancelled because of everything that's happened. But I'm pissed that I never got to see him. Absolutely fuming, but yeah.
So you were supposed to see him this year in London.
This October, man.
O2.
Yeah.
Damn.
Have you ever seen him perform?
I saw him once in Nottingham supporting Drake, which was dope. That was a really dope show. But I listen to him every day. I would love to see him again.
I still remember you were one of the first people that I knew him. Because he was like, when we first, like, I think so, you shared Wicked Games, or it was High For This with me, and I was like, shit, like, I was surprised you knew him, because when I first listened to Rolling Stone, which was the very first song I'd ever listened to it of, it only had like 3-4,000 views. So when you sent me, I was just like, oh wow, like someone else actually knows about him. Did you know, I was actually, so he held years ago when he first started blowing up on the scene, he had a show at the Electric Ballroom in Camden.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And there was only like 800 people there.
Mm.
I managed to get a ticket for 15 quid, bro.
Did you go?
I went.
Nice.
I went. Thursday night. Nice. Thursday night. 15 That's quid. Amazing. And now if I wanted to go see him, I paid £100 for the tickets. Over now. That.
It's like 150 now.
One of the... it was incredible. Such an amazing concert, though.
Yeah. Just, I have to say a few things. I knew about him because my cousin Roger told me about him. He puts me on to most music, really. When I was 16, he was showing me everything. He showed me Glass Table Girls. I was like, wow, this is a whole new direction of music. I had not really ever heard a song that changed. It was like, you know, changed into a different song. It had an amazing transition in the middle. I hadn't really heard that before. And I would have loved to have been to a small show of his when he was coming up. Those are some of the best. I very luckily went to a Childish Gambino show in London when he was coming up, and it was even smaller than that. It was like 300 people, and I literally paid the same, like £15 for a ticket. And he was so unknown, and it was an amazing show. Gambino went off, like he got in the crowd, like took his shirt off, was like swinging it around his head, going crazy. It was such a good night. It was around the time he was doing like songs from his first album, Cul-de-Sac, and he was doing, his biggest song at the time was Heartbeat. But yeah, that was a long, long time ago. But those shows are some of the best shows.
It's amazing when you're able to like find an artist that has like pretty much no people at their show and are relatively unknown. And then just to see how they're... Because, like, the Weeknd, I've always been a fan. I mean, me and Chicks get into fights about who's better, Weeknd or Drake. I mean, I love them both, but I think Weeknd will always... I mean, I've bought merchandise. I've fanboyed hard with the Weeknd. But no, it's amazing. I'd love to be able to go see him again.
So is the show being rescheduled, or what's up?
I'm hoping so. I think he will definitely look to come back. But now it's just going to be so difficult, man, because he's probably going to have to release another album. And he's going to have to tour that. I don't think he can go back and tour this album that he's done, unless he just, throughout COVID, hasn't done anything musically. So it's going to be, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. So 2 years ago, I went to see The Weeknd. So you know the Starboy album?
I'm a motherfucking star boy. Yeah, I love that album.
Oh my god. Yeah. Incredible album. So I went to go see that, and this was the one.
What you doing? Sorry, go on. I'm listening.
He can be sound bitten so hard though, because he's got so many of these weird things that if you were to just isolate them, they sound so funny as shit. But it just works for him. But yeah, so he had four shows in the UK, or four shows in London, and I managed to pick the one day that he brought Drake out.
Hassle into New Centerpiece, tiny Western people covered ebony. He brought Drake out. That's mad.
He brought Drake out, and this is when Drake had Fake Love that was popping for him at the moment. So
to me, that was when that dropped. Do you remember that day at Prash's birthday? When we took over that restaurant, and it was like underground, it was like BYOB, and I plugged my phone in and played Fake Love after we were all juiced. Were you there?
I definitely would have been there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like in this like lounge. It was like.
Was this the one in Barbican?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
the one
yeah.
in
it was,
Old
it was
Street?
Somewhere like, I think it was like Barbican. There was like 40 people. It was and initially the waiters said we couldn't play our own music. Then I plugged in my phone after some persuasion, played that song, and then they were dancing to the song.
That's one thing I always look forward to every year is Price's birthday. He always makes such a good effort to like do something and like plan it so well. Shout out to Price. We're actually going to look to bring them on in the next couple of shows, Price and Chicks. Oh, also, before we forget, when everyone sees the release of or the promotion of the Safe Hours podcast, Prash PD Graphic Designs has actually done the work, the artwork for us, and is going to continue to do all of our graphics. So if you have any work or if you are looking for any graphical design needs, he is by far the most competent person we've ever worked with. I mean, the design he did for us and pulled off for us was incredible. In addition to that, our opening, the opening soundbite for what you heard and the introduction music, that came from DJ Chakes, who's one of our closest friends. He's actually one of the members of the collective, and he did the most incredible. I'm trying to get the sample out of him. He's being a stubborn little bitch, but no, he did such a great job with that. So Chigs, we once again thank you so much for the work and the effort you put in for that, and it just means a lot more that it came from you.
Yeah, it's Jazz nailed it. Just to echo what Jazz said, it means so much to have the artwork for this podcast designed by Prash and the intro beat to be completely designed by Chigs. The four of us are like best friends, so it's amazing. I love the intro. You know, Chig sent it, and literally the same minute I listened to it, and I was like, "Oh my god, this is amazing! This is brilliant! Please can we use this in the beginning of our show?" And he was like, "Yeah, of course." So, just want to acknowledge Chigs and Prash, and just appreciate them, and take a moment to thank them for, you know, creating that for us and giving so generously and selflessly. Really, really appreciate that. So yeah, man. if anyone needs a DJ going forward, call up Chigs to laying down your function.
Should I tell you something about the last event that I got, the last gig that I got for Chigs?
Tell me. He said you're a good agent, but I didn't really know the story behind that, so please.
Oh my god. So it's actually one of my friend's birthday parties. So one of my best friend, he actually set up a birthday party for his friend. It was on a Friday and it was after work, and I think Chigs had a total crowd of 10 people to perform for.
I think that's the most he's ever performed in front of.
I think that's very telling that they all knew that Chigs's music was coming on, and they had to run for the hills. So, yeah. So maybe don't hire him for your events. But no, we're only kidding. But no, it was he's actually DJing at my friend's birthday party in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
Which I'm excited for. So he's strictly asked for old school hip hop, 90s and 80s hip hop. Yeah,
I want to go.
It's gonna be sick. It's going to be amazing. And I'm like, Chigs has got the catalogue for that already.
Where is it? At his crib or?
It's at his brother's house.
Nice.
So it's for a 30th birthday. So no, I'm buzzing to be in the crowd as well as sidling up to Chigs to basically try and ruin his set.
Oh, that sounds like it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, man, it's going to be quality.
If I was in London, I would be negotiating with you for an invite.
You would come as the plus one.
Who's plus one? Chigs is plus one. I would just come as part of the entourage.
I already have a plus one.
Yeah, I'd be Chigs is plus one.
Hang on, haven't you guys already been to an event together?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
you accompany him on a?
Yeah, yeah. I went to a set with him. That was a lot of fun. A couple sets, but yeah, we did one in somewhere in like West London, out in the hills somewhere. We had a good time. It was a great time.
I remember seeing pictures of you shamelessly pretending like you were DJing. Like, you actually gave the proper screw face. Like, and then, like, your hand on one ear. And then, like, one hand, like, on the decks. Like, trying to pretend like you're scratching. And I'm just like, what a bell end.
I don't know what you're talking about. I actually don't have...
So, this will be one of the the images that I release of Vid.
Oh, no.
On the Instagram page.
I was mixing. That was me. I was in the zone. Have you not heard me, bro? I cut up. Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Not according to Chigs.
I have literally no idea what any of those buttons do. I wanted to say some more things before you fucking... I'm going to knock you out, I swear.
I told you. I'm that's what I'm aiming for.
Yeah, no, there's... There are some more things I wanted to discuss, but yeah, right. Let's no, we can wrap this. I'll bring them into the next show.
So, thanks everyone again for hopefully tuning in, and we look forward to hosting you or welcoming you to the next show, which will be featured the following Monday. Vid, do you have anything else to say to sign us off?
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate you. We appreciate your time, and you can find us at the safehouse.podcast on Instagram. We have a Twitter page and a Facebook page, and we'll post those links in the Spotify, section beneath on the page. You can find all the information there. And yeah, looking forward to the next episode, episode 4. See you then,
Take
guys.
care. Bye.